Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Morning.
How are we today?
Very well, thank you.
Good. Anything else
What's
to
so
say?
What's so funny?
No, nothing.
This is an interview. You ask me questions.
You won't be
I
laughing in
them.
A minute. Okay.
People are well informed.
I'm going to ask you a question. Richard's got a bee in his bonnet about your views on trade yesterday.
Okay, I can't remember what I was talking about. I was trying not to be overly political. You seem to have tried to drag me down the line of trying to defend
the UK
economy.
You said it was a great opportunity to strike out new markets, etc., etc.
Well, I was just sort of playing along with you a little bit yesterday.
He sent me the official Office of National Statistics figures for the main UK exports from 2016.
Good.
And, of course, no surprise to see the European Union way out in front. Yeah. You have to go down to 12th place to find Australia, and New Zealand isn't even on it. So he says
it shows you the importance of rebalancing, doesn't it?
Well, he says it's not
far too reliant.
It's not just about trade, unless Tim Tams and cheap lamb is your priority in life. Exports are what the UK needs to pay for those Tim Tams and lamb chops, and for just about everything else.
This is very true. Important markets. And listen, I was sort of playing along a little bit with you yesterday. Listen, the reality is Europe is our most important trading partner for goods, but also in terms of services. There's not the clarity that's required. The hope is, of course, as we go through these next few weeks, we will get greater clarity in terms of the future trading relationship.
Okay, I've been listening to quite a lot of radio about this trade deal with New Zealand and Australia, and the views of quite a few Kiwis and Australians who, if they were old enough to remember in 1973 when Britain joined the common market, they felt absolutely betrayed. Because Britain had been one of the main trading partners with New Zealand and Australia before that. All of a sudden, tariffs came in. We started exporting more to Europe to take advantage of no tariffs. And, they got used to the idea. So consequently, and another thing which isn't mentioned often is geographical proximity. Australia and New Zealand see their main trading partners as being Southeast Asia, China in particular, whereas, of course, Britain is right next door to the European Union. And, of course, if you are exporting to the other side of the world, it's going to cost you more money. Is that going to negate any break in tariffs?
One would expect. So listen, there's no alternative. Europe is the world's largest single market. It's 500 million people. It's more than £11 trillion. It being part of the European Union means that we haven't been affected by trade barriers, by associated tariffs that could be put in place. Now, replacing that and coming out of that system is clearly going to have short-term negative consequences. The question is, can you rebalance it by going elsewhere in the world to fast-growing parts of the world? Europe's not the fastest-growing place, it has to be said, and try to move on from that. And you know, the reality is the economic arguments about leaving the European Union were never going to be strong, to be honest with you. Most of the debate, if you remember going back to the campaign, was very much around sovereignty and the UK having its own ability to determine its own course. And, the numbers don't play into that in the same fashion.
I thought it was all about bendy bananas and pound shillings and pence.
That was the other aspect of it.
The question remains, why is this government going to be the first government in history to inflict economic damage on its own economy?
Well, that's what the British people voted for. That's what the referendum was about. Whether they understood the ramification of that or not is perhaps a debate for another day, but it looks like it's going to happen. The people have asked for it to happen. You've got respect democracy.
Okay, right, that's your final word. Markets mixed yesterday, still concerns over coronavirus, and a President Trump rattling the sabres against China again.
Yeah, investors have been digesting a range of things. The latest economic data releases, rising geopolitical tensions and reports about fresh outbreaks of the coronavirus in the United States and China. Weekly jobless claims showed the U.S. labor market remained under pressure. 1.5 million, it's the fewest weekly applications since mid-March. Shows the pace of layoffs is no longer significantly easing. Lots of focus, of course, on the Bank of England yesterday announcing a £100 billion increase in the size of its bond buying programme, but slowed the pace quite sharply on signs that survey data has been improving as the country emerges from lockdown. They plan to stretch the programme out until the end of the year, although it's still a pretty aggressive timetable by any historic standard. The governor saying yesterday taking borrowing costs below zero was complex and was not in any way imminent, so perhaps downplaying the idea the UK could be looking at negative interest rates. European equities closed down yesterday, down around 0.5%. S&P pretty much closed flat. Oil prices pushed higher, this after OPEC producers and allies promised to meet their supply cut commitments, and traders point to reports that demand has been recovering well. Opening calls on the European bourses this morning, a little bit mixed, but currently calling the FTSE up 6 points. DAX over in Frankfurt up 11 points. CAC40 in Paris down 1 point.
You're quite good at this, really, aren't you? I mean, you know, you're better than all the politicians put together. They should put you up in the daily press conference. You'd have better answers than most of them.
Well, you seem to have dragged me into the political arena, one that I tried to stay away from, some of the arguments for and against the Brexit debate.
The cruise industry is on its knees, isn't it?
It really is. Shares in Carnival under pressure once again yesterday after the cruise operator reported a quarterly loss of $4.4 billion. It took a major write-down on the value of its ships and was virtually paralysed by the global COVID-19 pandemic travel lockdown. Cruise industry, as you say, has been one of the hardest hit by the global health crisis, the industry having some of the highest, earliest, high-profile outbreaks. Carnival said it's burning through cash at the rate, wait for this, $650 million per month. They recently raised actually $4 billion through a bond issue, paying a coupon of 12%. They said they would speed up the sales of more ships. Carnival shares, no surprise, been a poor performer, lost more than half their value since the start of the year. Although in April they traded as low as $7.80. Yesterday they were trading around $19.
Foreign exchange's pound's taking a bit of a beating, isn't it?
Yeah, concerns around what's happening in terms of Brexit, the aggressive measures, of course, being taken by
the
Bank of England, playing out a little bit there. Pound against the dollar down to 1.24 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 1.12. Just going to get under 1 euro 11 cents for your British pound this morning.
Who'd have thunk him? And my final parry to you is that if the British people did vote for Brexit, which is fair enough, I mean, we were done and dusted with Brexit, but it was up to the government whether they wanted to drag the country out of the single market and the customs union as well.
Yeah, we'll leave that for the politicians to decide, and we'll talk about the economic impact of it.
Righty-ho, have a lovely weekend. Friday's amongst us best day of the week. Had to say that before I let you go.
Enjoy your weekend, my friend.
You too. Talk to you Monday. Hank Potts and Barclays.